All right, thank you all. Today we're going to be talking about the triune God. As a tradition here at Grace Ambassadors, every January we tend to have 1, 2, 3 lessons on the Lord Jesus Christ, his deity, or the Godhead. And I wanted to continue that tradition while some of us are away on the traveling meetings. And so we'll talk about the triune God today, the three who's and the one what. And you can see that right there at the top of your outline if you grabbed one. The Bible teaches that there is one God, one, and so should we. Amen. There is one, and there is no other God. And if you would turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 6, a very familiar verse talking about this one God. In fact, this is the one God being described. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. There is only one God. The verse quoted on the top of your outline says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus confirms and quotes this very verse from Deuteronomy chapter 6. From Deuteronomy chapter 6. A scribe asks him a question, and here's how Jesus responds. Mark chapter 12 in verse 29, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And then you and I as Christians say Jesus is God. And that blows the minds of several people because you said there was one God and you said Jesus is God. And here we see Jesus talking about God. What's going on? And this has perplexed people for centuries. But let's learn more about this one God and who this God is. And I think we'll see the answer today. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. And we're going to look at verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. You know, I recall a verse in Hebrews that talks about someone being unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And I recall a verse in Revelation that we'll get back to later, where there's this person, Jesus, speaking, saying, I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. So how can that be? Take a look at Isaiah 45, so just turn the page. And let's read some sections from Isaiah 45. So starting in verse 5, let's read 5 through 7. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. It's clear there's only one God. I form the light, and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Skip down to verse 12 there. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Continue down to verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Skip down there to verse 22, which we've already quoted. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. In verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. There is one Lord, and that Lord created the world and the inhabitants of that world. And to that one Lord, that one God, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. There is no other God. There is one God, and that's a clear teaching in the Bible. It's not gods a many. And that's the distinction between what the Bible teaches and what other polytheistic religions would teach. There is one God. And to that, many would agree with us, even many non-Christians. But we must continue further. The Bible teaches there is one God, and that God has attributes. That God has qualities of that his being, his essence. Those qualities are eternal, infinite, immortal, immutable or unchangeable, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, the creator, as we just read. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to just read through an entire chapter of Isaiah today. And I want you to pick up on the qualities of God, the qualities of God's essence, his attributes here in this chapter. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are young, that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the spirit of the Lord, or being his of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom, then, will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? I have yet not understood. Have ye not yet understood from the foundations of the world, the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created the things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names of the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Did you hear the qualities of God? Did you hear his eternalness, his all power, his greatness, his glory? These are the things that describe God, and this is the one God that the Bible teaches. And yet, you and I say, Jesus is God. How can this be? Because after all, wasn't Jesus a man? The Bible calls three God, and so should we. Amen. The Bible teaches one God, and the Bible calls three God. So how can we understand this? All three that the Bible calls God are God in designation and demonstration. Amen. And what I mean by that is, take a look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible calls each of the three that it terms God, God. We can see it plainly in Scripture. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father. You've heard the three that the Bible calls God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 2, this verse says, God is the Father. And take a look at Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, you have the account of Ananias and Sapphira, who sold their possessions but kept back part of the money. Look at verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, Was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Here in this section of Scripture, it says that Ananias lied to the Holy Ghost. And it clarifies a couple of verses later, Ananias lied to God. The Scripture says the Holy Ghost is God. So we have God the Father, the Holy Ghost being God. And there's a third person that the Bible calls God. Take a look at Titus chapter 2. Unfortunately, you have to turn your pages. Because if I was turning my pages, would probably get lost in it. So I've printed all these scriptures out on a piece of paper here. In Titus chapter 2, look at verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here we have a verse in the Bible. The Bible teaches there's one God, and yet this verse is calling Jesus our Savior, God. We've seen God the Father, we've seen God the Holy Spirit, and now we're seeing God, Jesus our Savior. That's three that the Bible is calling God. And now you can see one God, three that the Bible calls God, confusion, mind blown. And this has been a problem for people for centuries. What does this mean? The Bible clearly teaches there's one God, and the Bible also calls three God. The Bible calls the three God, but also these three are God in demonstration. And how do I know that? Well, they show that they are God. And here's an example. Each of these three in the Bible is said, it teaches, to have resurrected Christ, raised Christ. And how do I know that? Well, take a look at Galatians chapter 1. In verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, so we're talking about God the Father, who raised him from the dead, raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead. So God the Father raised Jesus. Also, take a look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, in verse 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. This is Jesus speaking here. Jesus lays down his life that I, Jesus, may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus here says that he is the one who lays down his life, and he is the one who takes it again. God the Father raised Jesus. Jesus apparently raised Jesus. And see here in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. That means he died. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So the Bible says three are God, and three are demonstrating the power to resurrect here. There are three that are called God and three that have the power of God. Amen. That's the designation and demonstration. To be God, each of the three must fully, at all times, have all the attributes of God. If you don't have the attributes of God, if you don't have the qualities of the being, the essence of God, then you are in no way God. And so they must all three have the qualities of God at all times. God does not change. Take a look at Psalms chapter 102 in verse 25. Of old thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Speaking of God here, God does not change. Also, take a look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Now here, I'd just like to point out that this is Jesus talking. And Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. That's Jesus, Almighty. Not changing. Is, was, and is to come. And in Revelation chapter 22, in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly again. This is Jesus talking. And my reward is with me. Now, hold on. I've heard that. My reward is with me. We just read through Isaiah 40, and that's a quote from Isaiah 40. My reward is with me. To give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And isn't that a quote of a verse that we read earlier about God? The first and the last. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, we read that God says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God's promises to the nation of Israel are not changed. God does not change. And therefore, to be God at all times, you must have all of the attributes of God. The Bible teaches there's one God. The Bible teaches three are called God. And the Bible shows us in designation and demonstration that the three that are called God have all the attributes of God at all times. Note that God does not change, but what God does changes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now there are, in starting in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And we know in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What God does changes, but God does not change. And that includes all of the attributes of God. And the Bible calls three God. We've seen God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, and God Jesus Christ. And so for just a moment, I'd like to focus on God, Jesus Christ, because as we said earlier, Jesus confirmed that there's only one God, and wasn't Jesus a man? And how then could Jesus be God? Well, we've already seen a few verses, but let's talk a little bit about some other verses that show us in the Bible that Jesus is God. And so I'm going to just read you some snippets of some of the scripture here. In Hebrews, in chapter 1, in verse 2, and I'm reading part of the verse here, by whom also he made the worlds. This is talking about Jesus. Yeah. Jesus made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That's talking about Jesus being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, God, upholding all things by the word of his power. And in verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, now unto the Son, that's Jesus, he saith, that's God, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. That's talking about Jesus. The Bible calls Jesus God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And if you skip down to verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation. It's talking about Jesus here. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. And it talks about heaven and earth passing, and it says, but thou remainest. It's talking about Jesus here. They shall be changed, but thou art the same. Thy years shall not fail. And in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 15, we learn about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. And by the way there, that firstborn of every creature, that's talking about Jesus' death and resurrection, his resurrection to glory, his resurrection to his glorified body, never to die again. That's how Jesus is the firstborn. It's not Jesus a first created creature. Jesus is the creator. Jesus is God. And Jesus is the one who created everything in heaven and earth. In John chapter 1, oh, by the way, I want to continue mentioning Colossians chapter 1. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. That's in verse 17. And in 18, it continues on, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And we read, you know, very shortly after that you're complete in him. In John chapter 1, we read about Jesus again. In verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. This is talking about Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And it continues on in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was full of grace and truth. And if you drop down to verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And finally, if you skip down to verse 23 in John chapter 1 here, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. That's talking about John when they ask John, who are you? John the Baptist. And he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, making straight the way of the Lord. And John's talking about Jesus here. But didn't earlier we read in Isaiah 40, make straight the way of the Lord? And that was talking about the God. Jesus is God. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. Jesus is the creator. And in John chapter 10, there are some folks that come to Jesus and say, basically, just tell us plainly, are you the Christ or not? And Jesus says, I told you, and you believed not. And so we're here in verse 25 of chapter 10. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And if you skip down to verse 30 of chapter 10, I and my Father are one. And the Jews took up stones to stone him at that point. And they say why in verse 33, Because Jesus says, what works am I doing that you're going to stone me for? And they say, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They knew what he was saying. He was saying, I am God. And that was the very thing that they needed faith for, to recognize who Jesus was. So we clearly see that Scripture teaches that there are three called God, and specifically, I've taken a little bit of extra time to show that where the Scripture says Jesus is God, because that's the one thing that separates Christianity from other monotheisms. So believing that there's one God, which the Bible teaches, separates what the Bible teaches from other polytheisms. But Jesus being God is the thing that separates Christianity from other monotheisms. So I said there were a lot that would agree that there's one God, even the Jews, even the Muslims. But what they don't agree with is that Jesus is God. And that means they deny the God of the Bible. Now, how can that be? Because as the Jews there in that passage of John said, you're a man and you're calling yourself God. Well, Jesus uniquely has two natures. He is both fully God and fully man. This is how he has all the qualities of the essence of God the being, and yet can die. He is immortal. He's God. And yet he can die as a man. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything. And yet he was able to hunger and thirst as a man. He's eternal, and yet he was able to be born. He is everywhere. Omnipresent, and yet he walked on the earth. Amen. In a place, in a land. Jesus' two natures, him being fully God and fully man, is taught in the Bible. Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says that in him, that's Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, Jesus is God in a body. And in First Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, in 17, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I'm sorry, I'm reading Romans. Excuse me, 1 Timothy. This is the problem when you print all the scriptures off on one piece of page. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And we read earlier in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is both God and man. So in the Bible, we read that there's only one God, and that there are three called gods. So that leaves the question, and the answer to the question is, the key to the answer is in the understanding of the who and the what. Because God is a being, but the three that are called God in the scripture are persons. So we ask the who versus the what. Jesus is a who. God is the what. The Father is a who. God is the what. The Holy Ghost is a who. God is the what. The conclusion that you should come to after reading Scripture is that there is a triune God. There is a three, tri, in one, un, a unity. It's a unity of God that there are three persons in one being, God, the Trinity. And this is where many fall short, because they don't recognize the understanding of the who versus the what. There are three distinct in person, but there is only one what. In John chapter 14, take a look at John chapter 14, verse 26. How do we know that this is the case? Well, we see evidence in Scripture of each of these persons in the one what referring to each other. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." Okay, so we've got Jesus talking about the Holy Ghost, and that's talking about the Father sending him in Jesus' name. "He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." When we talk about persons, we're talking about identifying he, him, I, you. And Jesus talks here about all three persons in this one verse of the one God. This is how we know when the Bible's saying three are one, that that it's talking about persons in one being. Amen. Also, you can take a look at John chapter 15, verse 26, which basically says the same thing. "When the Comforter has come, whom I will send," so the Comforter, Holy Ghost, Jesus sends, "I will send unto you from the Father." So we've got Jesus, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and the Father all right here being referred to separately as separate persons, but yet we've seen previously they're all called God. And so this point is deserving of a lesson in its own right. We can't spend enough time on this today, but luckily there is a part two of this lesson coming down the pipeline. So when our travelers return at some point in the next few weeks, look for part two, which is going to be focusing on this part of the lesson, the triune God, the three persons in the one God. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Take a look at Matthew chapter 3. How do we know that? Well, again, we see verses where they're all three mentioned, but also they all three acknowledge one another. In Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 16, it tells us that Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he, Jesus, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So there's the Father talking to the Son, and the Spirit descending on the Son, and Jesus coming up out of the water. We've got all three, and they all three interact with one another. They speak to each other. They do different things. In Matthew chapter 28, they all have power. They're three different persons, and yet they all have power. They are all God. The one God, the one being. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, either Jesus is being really repetitive and strange, talking about himself three times that way, or there are three persons of one God. In Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 9, "Came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan." And so this is the same account here. "And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father is pleased in the Son. So we know that there are three persons in this one God because they talk to each other, they refer to one another, and they do what one another wants. Each person is God entirely and fully, and we've already really covered that. If you go back to our second point here, the Bible calls three God. And each is equal in essence or attributes, qualities of being. Being, as example, all eternal. In John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, Jesus was born as a man well after Abraham was dead and in the dirt. And yet here Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. He's talking about his eternality. And also in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, who's there with God? Who's there and God? In the beginning was God, and God created the heaven and the earth. Who's there in verse 2? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Jesus is God. The Spirit is God. The Father is God. And they were all there from the beginning, from before the beginning. They are all eternal. And of course, you've seen verses where God already we've shown is unchanging and eternal. And as another example, Jesus is equal with God. How do we know this? Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Who, Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus was equal with God, in the form of God. And so they all have all attributes, and each person is also the same God. Amen. It's not different gods. They are distinct in person. Who? So how do we know the three are one God? Well, here we come to the most controversial Bible verse that people want to throw out, the comma that they say shouldn't be in the Bible. Well, you know, as a precursor to this entire lesson, if you don't believe the Bible, I don't know what to say. You're not going to believe that there are three in one. Because the Bible clearly teaches it, and to come to that understanding, you have to first believe the Bible. And so take a look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. It's three persons in one being, one God, and each coexists in the Godhead at all times. So the question of how can the Bible call three God and yet also teach one God is that there are three persons in one being, the three in one, the Trinity or the triune God. There are problems about not getting this doctrine right. First, we said uniquely Christians call Jesus God. That separates Christianity from other monotheistic religions. Without Jesus being God, there is no Christianity. Amen. And so what happens is people that struggle with this very doctrine will say, yes, Jesus was a man. And when he was a man, he gave up being God. That's not true. Jesus testified, as we've seen in the Bible, in the scripture, Jesus is God. Before Abraham was, I am. We've seen how Jesus had two natures, the nature of God and the nature of man. That's how Jesus can be eternal and yet be born into the world. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father have existed always from time past to eternity and are now and will exist always together from time future to eternity. Amen. And they do not change. The one God does not change. What they're doing, yes, their instructions and what they would have mankind to do, yes, it changes. But who God is does not. It's three persons in one God. Other errors, though, that abound in Christianity, and when the focus is so much of what God is doing, unfortunately, some Christians end up throwing out, with all the traditions and with all the wrong teachings, some of the fundamental and right teachings. And they throw out this very teaching of the triune God, and they cause a mess. So even folks that are close to us who might recognize Paul's distinct apostleship, they throw out the fundamental truth about the three who's and the one what. Amen. And the errors that abound are such as these. They will say, well, yeah, the Bible just simply teaches there's three gods, ignoring point number one. The Bible teaches there is one God. Or they'll throw out what the Bible teaches and they'll say each of the persons of the Godhead is just in part God. So when you put them all together, there's God. No, Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Where one person is, there is God. Amen. And so that's denying the second point of the lesson. There are three, and they are called God, and they are there. Where one is, there is God. Other errors are that there's one greater God that created the other lesser gods. That's not true. We saw from the beginning, it was by Jesus Christ that all things were created. Amen. And finally, one last mistake that's pretty common is that there's just one single God, but the three, the who's, are just separate masks, just different modes, different forms of the one God. That's not true. We've seen there are three who's in one being. Amen. So just to sum it all up here today, there's going to be a part two coming that's going to focus on that third point there of the outline. But to lay the foundation here, the teaching of the Bible is that there are three persons of one God, also sometimes referred to as the Trinity, which we recognize is not a biblical word, but it means triune, three in one, one unity. And the Bible does speak a plenty of each one of these three persons being God, the Godhead. Are there any questions or comments?